Living God. Over the past few weeks, before even I go into that, I want you to understand that sometimes I can sense when any minister who's connected to the move of God within a specific period, I can sense when someone is not on my wavelength. Sometimes when we minister, I want you to understand that the true potency of the ministry of teaching or the office of a teacher is not to provide information. None of the fivefold is there to provide information. Each has a way in which they pull you in. Praise the Lord. It's not just the prophetic or the apostolic. Each has a way that they pull you in. So please don't try to cram things. I want you to learn to get lost in the presence. I want you to learn to get lost in God. Some of my deepest moments with God in prayer have been when I'm surrounded by so many people and when there's a lot of noise. Some of my deepest moments with God. Because over time, my walk with Him, I've learned to shut out the world when I need to. Just talk to Him and say, it's 5 p.m., Lord. I haven't talked to you for a while. Is there anything you want to tell me? Praise the Lord. Some people who think men of God are not romantic. Sisters. So he's always approaching with Bible. If you could just hear the language we have with God. You would say, man of God, that way you talk to Him, talk to me. We are romantic. Men of God, say amen. Okay, brothers in Christ, say amen. I met a guy the other day who was telling me, Rabbi, the way I used to use Song of Songs to win the hearts of ladies. Thou art a dear. Praise the Lord. But I want you to learn to get lost in the presence. Don't cram things. Don't come before God with cram work. That now, today, now we're going to worship up to this time. Like people cram the time I walk in. So they cram the time I walk in and so they wait around. It's okay. But you'd rather wait around somewhere and be lost from there in the presence than be on your phone. Because fellowship doesn't start when the man of God enters. And I wish you understood that. You see, I'm a person who treasures worship so much. I treasure worship, I treasure prayer so much that I had to find a way to do it for myself and not make it so obvious. So I could be right next to you, laughing, and I'm worshiping. Praise the Lord. Then my eyes open, I ask you something, and you say, man of God. And you think, I'm 24-7 in the spirit. Some of you think that. You think men of God are 24-7 seeing. So when I meet specific people, they come and when I have an appointment with them, a person, there's a lady a year or so back, she came, sat, and said, Rabbi, since you've already seen everything, let me just say everything. And the entire time I was like, what? Because we do not see everything. There is no one who sees everything. Because no one except God is omniscient. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. So I want you to learn to get lost. Even with the choir, I want you, even with you guys, I want you, you know, the thing with choirs generally. It is the line between having a list of songs and being connected to the Spirit is very thin. Sometimes you can come and you've organized songs. And if you're not a spiritually inclined person, you can sing songs according to your list. And it's not what God wanted you to sing. You understand? So I need you to learn, just be lost. If you're led to speak in tongues as the keyboard player, please. That's the atmosphere I need. There's something that I have inside of me. I was discussing with Pastor Jack a few months back. We're talking about how every man of God has a sound that releases what God has deposited in them. And until they find that sound, you haven't seen the totality of who they are. I'm assuring you. And so there are things I long to release sometimes, but it has nothing to do with the choir. It's because the choir can be perfect and y'all are not. I don't know where your minds can be, or even if your minds are there, you're thinking, after this song, we're going to sing the next song. After, we can stay on one song. I want you to understand that. I want you to come here and understand that we're building a reputation of getting lost. We've started it, and until you learn that there will be a day when I come here and I don't minister. We just worship. If you get angry, you walk out fine. Because we can teach through song. I want you to learn to get lost. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Learn to get lost. Over the past few weeks, I've been teaching on the intimacy of God. And last week, the other week, I explained that in the book of Song of Songs, there are 12 gates of intimacy, minimum. I don't want to say there are 12 exactly, because another man of God will come and say there are 13. You understand? So I'll say 12 minimum. Eh? And I explained, I started with the first gate, which was what? I'm at the numbers. What was the first gate? Huh? My God. Huh? What was the first gate? No. No, 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 no. What was the first gate? Hunger. It's even in the title on the album. Gates of intimacy, hunger, vanange. The first gate of intimacy is hunger. And I explained that anything that you want in the spirit, anything that you desire, you need to nurture a hunger for it. And God often, there's a statement I made that God often will starve his sheep so that they will look for him. Because he doesn't force you. He doesn't say, come, follow me. He starves you. And your spirit will say, there's something missing. And that's why some people move from one ministry to another, to another, to another. They think the problem is with the man of God or the ministry. But there is something their spirit is looking for. Eh? And they just can't quite articulate it. And often what the Lord will do, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Eh? Often what the Lord will do for any of you is, he will give you a glimpse of something and then take it away. And so you will look for that thing. It's like a person who has been sitting under a specific ministry for a while, and they knew this is the man of God. Not knowing that God has various levels of revelation. Your man of God is not the last level. And so one day, a friend says, why don't you pass by? And you go somewhere and you sit, and your spirit tests something that has never been tested before. Eh? And you go back to your place, and you listen. And the problem is that, and please forgive the analogy, if you've been eating posho, and you get Black Forest for the first time, the posho starts to test. And yet before, it was the best food there was. Because, you see, I had this discussion with someone in the village. And they're like, you guys, the things you eat that side, Fetulia kaunga. So one day my brother decided, on a Saturday, as we went to the village, Christmas time, to get one of the burgers from Java's. Eh? And we reached and said, first come. What do they call this? Huh? Kampala. I should come to Kampala. That's how it is with spiritual things. Your spirit tests something, and you come back, and you're looking for it where you are, but it's not the problem of the man of God, because that's his level of ministration. You understand? Yeah. And so it's easy for you to think, this guy is not deep. Some people do that. Eh? It's, he's not deep. But you see, God deals with people individually. You could have saturated at a place, and he says, come, it's time for the next level. Sometimes he does it with things like dreams, with prophecy. You've never prophesied before. Then you're looking at someone, and you pick out their mother's name. He says, test and see that the Lord is good. So you try it again, and you're not what? You're not sick. But he said, I picked it, Rabbi. Because he shows you a taste of it, then says, some people just give up. They give up. I say, man, I've tried. The other time it was by luck. Test therefore and see that the Lord is good. That's how hunger is built in the spirit. By testing. Are you with me? So the first gate is hunger. When hunger is sustained, you enter into the next gate, which is pursuit. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4. Song of Songs, chapter 1, and verse 4. He says, draw me, we will run after thee. I just want to focus on that. He says, draw me, we will run after thee. It's important you understand that in your own strength, you cannot come to God unless God draws you. So you can't walk out for me and say, now I'm going to start. The purpose of this atmosphere is to allow your spirit to open up so God can draw you. Otherwise, you will get frustrated. And so when he draws you then, the next step is, as he's drawing you, you run after him. It is pursuit. That is the next gate of intimacy. I can assure you that very few Christians have even left gate one. Very few. This stage of pursuit is what I want to focus on. Because when you're pursuing, it's also referred to as seeking God. And I explained to a few people that seeking in the spirit is not the same way you seek on earth. Most people don't. It's not how you seek on earth. I lost keys, so I'm looking for the keys here. Eh? And you. So when you're praying, you say, seek the Lord. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. He's not referring to how you seek on earth. Lord, where are you? Where are you? I am here. That is not seeking. Seeking in the spirit is a journey, and it never ends until you leave this earth. There is no point a man will say, I have sought, and now I have settled. You see, Isaiah received a revelation from God, or about God. In Isaiah 45:15, he declared a statement that I found very, very strange. He said, thou art the God that hideth himself. The scripture that we read in Revelations, John is taken up into the spirit, and he sees a being seated on a throne. He says that being is like jasper. That being sitting there on the throne, I've had some people pray, and when a person is praying, he says, Lord, go forth! Go forth! Change the seasons, God! You know people who command God? Those are people who have not seen the King. This is a majestic spirit. Amen. Please understand that there are spirits on earth. There are many. There are demonic spirits, different kinds. There are angels. There is only one majestic spirit. It is a king's spirit. Are you with me? So when you come before his presence, you do not order. You see, it only happened one time in the Bible, and I'm still yet to find the secret behind it. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, that Joshua spoke to God. and said, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon." Then scripture goes on to say, never before and after has there been a time when God heeded the voice of a man. In other words, I remember when we were in school, we'd also, "Sun, stand still." How about you guys? Naivety. You see, there is a, he is a majestic spirit. You know, the Bible says, it says, you are justified. When you receive justification and righteousness, you have the right to enter boldly before that majestic spirit. He says, "Let us therefore boldly approach the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy." Some of you think mercy is only for Old Testament. He says, "Grace and mercy in times of need." The fact that you are justified, the result of it, is that now you can enter into that presence of that majestic spirit. And the purpose of it is not for you to just stand there and be old. It's for you to have communication with that spirit. You with me so far?
Yes.
So, to get to that point, God will grow your journey of pursuit. Now, if you're not with me, at some point, if what I'm saying will be relevant to you, you will find it relevant at some point, if you're not with me. Okay? Because the word of God is interesting. I remember I was watching a message about Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn was ministering sometime a few years back in the 1990s. And he ministered healing to a woman who had been sick with cancer for 3 years. Okay? Now, 10 years later, another woman sick with cancer, the same age, same name, got healed. And she said, "I was watching Benny Hinn, a 10-year-old message. And he spoke to the television and he said, 'There's a woman. Your name is this. You've been sick for 3 years. You have this and this and this. Healing comes to you.' And that time, 10 years ago, a lady testified. But 10 years later, another lady still finds it relevant." In other words, Benny Hinn doesn't have to speak again. Are you with me?
Yes.
The word of God is cyclical.
Amen.
So it's not just for now. Now in the spirit is eternal. Okay? That aside. So, he's a God who hides himself. Why? Because he doesn't just let anyone into his intimate chambers, which we shall touch at some point. Because you see, I told you the first gate is hunger. The second one is pursuit. You haven't even yet reached the secret place. Some people think the secret place is a place where you just, "Father, I pray. Hey, man, I was in the secret place last night." No. It is an actual place that you need to pay a price and qualify to enter. An actual place. And you see, God hides himself. Not only does he hide himself, he hides certain things inside himself. So then you begin to distinguish things that are in God and things that you can just ask for. Do you know that there are things you can just ask for? At the level of hunger, the Bible says, "Is anyone lacking wisdom? Let him ask." So there's a wisdom that you can receive by asking. But then the Bible goes on to say that there is a hidden wisdom of God. It doesn't come by asking. It comes by pursuit. Are you with me? You can look through. There's hidden wisdom. There are hidden riches. There's hidden manna. Things that you do not just ask for. That's why Jesus gave 3 levels. He said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek then, you shall find." The element of pursuing is very rare amongst Christians. I'm going to tell you how. Do you know that everyone that prays starts prayer in the flesh? Everyone. So, let's say you've had a very nasty day. You come, let's say you kneel. I know most of you don't. Probably kneel back, just lean back into your, your chair or whatever, but let's say you kneel. Let me just give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say you kneel. And you kneel before God, you put on some music and you begin to pray. You can hear the cars outside. Your stomach is grumbling. You're looking at the time. You're still in the flesh. There is no man on the face of this earth who does not start praying in the flesh. None. The only difference is the duration. You with me?
Yes.
Some people, the moment they kneel, they switch from flesh to spirit instantly. Others take six, 7 hours. Ah, Lord, where are you? And you see, the thing is that the purpose of this pursuit is because there are secrets that God keeps.
Amen.
Do you know that who you are is sealed? There's a lot about you that is sealed. You cannot summarize yourself. I've said this before. My name is Daniel. I'm a guy. I preach, I teach. There's a lot about you that is sealed. To such an extent that pursuit at every level allows certain compartments of you that are sealed to be opened up. I have found that when you start prayer in the flesh, the aim of pursuit is for you to tarry. Stay there. Learn to tarry. You see, children of God, in hunger there is freedom. You can hunger 30 minutes, 5 minutes. Lord, I desire, come for fellowship, and the Lord will allow it. In pursuit, there is need for long time in the presence of God. Let no one lie to you. You need to tarry. You need to wait. The waiting is the process where, you know, when a guy is approaches a lady, says, I like you. Now, normally, she wants to say, I like you too. So let me think about it. And keep you waiting. Not that God is like that, but it's the closest I could give. You need to pay the price to enter deeper.
Amen. Amen.
So you wait. You tarry. Now, what happens is that at first you're using your uttermost strength. I need to stay here. I need to pray. But then you enter a place where he begins to renew strength. That renewing of strength is no longer your physical strength. You found that you're staying longer than you normally can or normally do. Until you transition now to a place where the Bible says you mount on wings of eagles. You begin to rise. I know what I'm talking about. It's you begin to rise. It's almost like you're weightless. I wish some people knew. It's almost like you're weightless. There are times I remember I would be praying, and I used to like kneeling. Nowadays I don't do it so much. I used to like kneeling, and there are times I would feel like I'm flying, like I'm floating. Now, that means you've transitioned. The Spirit has renewed your strength, and now you begin to rise.
Amen.
That's where the Bible says, give me Psalms 80 verse 18. Psalms 80 verse 18. I think I'm with my watch today. It says, so will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. As you tarry, there is a sudden quickening. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit quickens. There is a quickening. I wish language. Language fails me. And you begin to rise. You begin to rise. Suddenly, they're what we call disclosures, or they're compartments of secrets that God has kept in a place at various levels, and he begins to open them up to you. So, for example, when a person prays for a husband, I want a husband, at a certain level, a prophet or even the person themselves can find that husband can come. But as you tarry in the presence of God, you capture a secret that is not just about who the husband will be, but about your role in the purpose of the person. You understand? Those are things you don't just stumble upon. They need to be pursued. Are you with me? So, I can tell you your husband. I say glory to God, and it just stops there. There are things men of God, God can close the eyes of a man of God and say, if she does not seek me, it will remain a secret. I know what I'm talking about. Men are secret. Because some people have come to me and said, Rabbi, I want to know, like, what is my role in my husband's? And if usually I'm honest, I'll say, if I can't see anything, I'll say, I don't know. I'll be shocked. But you ask God. That's not how it works. You tap into certain capsules. You see, you can pray for a job and God gives you one. But when you tap into a secret of a thing, you find out why he put you there. Are you with me? The gate of pursuit. If you seek me and seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. It's for reasons why people like Job were lost. Job said in Job 28, he said, there is a path that no fowl knows. He refers to a path. Then he asks later, where can wisdom be found? And he's not referring to the wisdom here that any man can ask for. He's asking about that hidden wisdom. That's why if you read the book of Job, he said, I remember the days of my youth when the secret of the Lord was upon the tabernacle. When a person has been in the presence of God and God begins to reveal secrets, listen, and they're at various levels, the higher you go, the more he tells you, come. People misquote the scripture that says in Amos 3, it says, the Lord does nothing without revealing it to his servants, the prophets. It doesn't say without revealing it to prophets. It says servants. That means it's not about having a title, prophet. It's about actually being in service. You actually aligned to the will of God and you're serving, and so he reveals it. So there are people actually who think, because I'm a prophet, God is revealing to me all the things. Nothing can happen with that. No, that's not true. You see, I learned long ago that God doesn't have favorites. He has intimates. He has intimates. Separates them totally from the rest of the group. Intimates. Shall I do this thing without revealing it to my servant Abraham? That kind of friendship where a spirit is calling you a friend. Amen. I was sitting with someone the other day and I explained to them that people are joking. The Bible talks about the church, Christ being the bridegroom, and there is a bride. But scripture talks about the friend of the bridegroom. Not everyone is the bride. It's okay. Oh, wait, I'll leave it. Not everyone is a bride. There are some who are the bride. There are those on that day, in eternity, they will walk in with the Christ, like a groom. That is... You're like, I must have the debauch. Sections, differences between relationships. Pursuing God. Like, do you know that as you seek God, this is what seeking actually is. Seeking is the ministry of intercession. And I'm going to say, oh no, I'm done. There are people who are graced with the ministry of intercession. Then every child of God is supposed to enter that ministry. The ministry of intercession is where your hunger has grown so much, it is so consistent that you begin to pick the burdens of God. So when you're called to business, for some reason your dreams are business are telling you what's happening in the business world. You're in Uganda, but you know what business is popping up in the US. Say, Rabbi, I had this dream. Because you've taken on an intercessory role. And I want to tell you this. God never gives someone visions for the sake of having them. I saw this president will die. And it happens. That's why if you notice specific anointings, it says, I saw a man who was going to be sick, and so I prayed. The purpose of the revelation is so you might pray. Are you with me?
Yes.
Disclosures like that do not happen if you have not entered the ministry of intercession to stand in the gap. And let me tell you this. As you get closer to God, deeper to God, away from just hunger, you're pursuing. Your items of prayer cease to be about you. Cease to be about you. And so, you can take on that posture in any area that God has called you to. You can be an intercessory politician. Because the reason the Lord has put you there is to open a portal so that what the devil is doing in that area, you will be the source of change. That's why the other week I told you that it is not right for a Christian to say, I'm stealing for dominion. Because God does not use the enemy's tools to further his goal. Are you with me? I wish you, there are people, when I read through scripture, the people that I love the most are not, it has nothing to do with the power that they exemplified. For me, it's the intimacy they had with God. You know, Paul, coming to the end of his life in Philippians, he says, all I want is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You see, that kind of knowledge. I just want to know you. And yet the guy is splitting revelations left and right. People are still trying to split them to this day. But he says, I want to know Christ. One day you will realize, and I pray you grow to that level, there's a point where you reach, and when you get in God, he begins to give you things you did not ask for. I had a story Benny Hinn gave. He said one time when his daughter was just born, he held his daughter and he said, the amount of love I had for her, and as I held her in my hands, he said, the Lord said, whispered to him, one day I will have all of you. And he was like, but Lord, you have all of me. And the Lord says, no, I don't yet have all of you. He's a jealous God. He said, but Lord, with a baby. He's a very jealous God. Jealous God. That's why the other time I told you, you will pray for something and he won't give it to you because it will replace him. To pursue God. In that pursuing, unlike in the period of hunger where you can decide, now I want to pray, now I want, there are times of seeking. You don't just seek any time. There are times. In Psalm 63, David says, early in the morning will I seek you. It's not just random times. And so you begin to create portals on certain days, certain time periods. And that's how these time watches come. They don't come so that you can just practice. So you can, me, I'm going to pray at 9 a.m. No, it's not that. It is actually, God, I think I'll just have to teach on this separately some other time. But ideally, there are times in the spirit where the veil between flesh and spirit is thinned. It is extremely thin. And if you really want to pursue God, it will be easier during those times than any other time. You cannot pursue without meditation. You cannot pursue without developing prayer. And I'll say this, you cannot pursue the levels you cannot enter without fasting. Mama, Rabbi, you've killed me. You have killed me, Rabbi, fasting. I will stick to my level. Eh? You see? And it's the truth. It is the truth. There are levels in God where, and you see, fasting is not just food, as some of you know. You might have to fast people, which is a harder fast than food. I'm telling you. For some of you, it is. Some people, you have to fast your phone. Mama! Fasting your phone. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:13, as you rise in that, I'll call it a chamber of secrets. As you rise, there is light there. And Ephesians 5 says, it says, in your light is manifestation. So what happens is, as you rise in God, He begins to show you things that are hindering your life, but to you, they were not obvious. And so, as you're before Him, He says, unforgiveness. And imagine, no one can tell that you're holding, even yourself. Because you know, you can hold unforgiveness and it stays there and becomes so normal that you don't even know you have it in your heart. And as you rise before Him, He says, unforgiveness. Light has shone on the one thing that is probably holding back everything you desire. And so do you know that it is impossible then, having had that disclosure to you, that revelation, for you to come back? As a person of prayer, you come back and ignore it. It will bite at you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The gate of pursuit to seek God, to run after. I want more of you.
Amen.
Amen. There are, what time is it? Hey. I forgot my watch. Huh? Okay. I wish you would know, I wish you would understand that the devil can allow you to hunger, but you start pursuing. There's something about spirits that are awakened when you start entering certain realms in prayer. Huh? And you see, the thing is that as you pursue, your discernment opens up, your perception opens up. You can start to learn a spirit that is working in someone because you've sensed it before in the chamber. I know this spirit, and yet no one else can see it. As you grow, you learn that prayer starts, first of all, in the flesh. And the longer you stay there, you start moving. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but you start moving. Then you reach what is referred to as the soulish realm, where before that music wasn't touching you, but now tears start flowing. When you say, I love you, you're not just saying it. Your prayers in the first realm, in the flesh, they were just, now what do I pray for? What do I have a list? One. Now they are targeted. Father, I pray for my mother. You understand? And so what happens is that it opens up a new soulish. Your emotions are tied to something spirit. You have moved. That music that you were playing in the first realm, you could hear it boom. This is the realm of your glory. Now it's faint. But every word somehow is touching your heart. You've been raised to its frequency. And I know what I'm talking about because I know what it takes. I've been there. The longer you stay there, you enter, you travel, it's a journey. You move now to a place that is totally spirit. There are no tears there. There are no words there. It's just silence. And you see, at that area there, the Bible says the Spirit prays through us in groanings that cannot be uttered. You just, the burden of prayer is in your spirit, but you can't articulate it. So you just groan. That's the level Hannah was at. You groan. At that level, you're not the one praying. Someone is praying through you. That's why it's the most perfect form of prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. That music now can't be heard. There is no time. Before here, you are busy saying, I'll pray for 1 hour. Here, you're still aware of your time. The last realm, time doesn't exist. It is eternal. That is the place where secrets are brought forth. This is where men now, when they get up and they come out, you can smell fragrance of them. They haven't been just in their room. Are you with me? Some people's face can glow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why one of my favorite hymns is I don't know if it, just a closer walk with you. You know it? Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Walking is not in the flesh, it's not even a soulish thing, it is a spirit thing. A spirit thing. That's where secrets, you know that? Meetings like this are hidden in those realms, those compartments of secrets. As you pray, you see the meeting before it happens. Now, the thing is that in the spirit, when you see it, you see both the natural and the spiritual pattern. So you see the physical people plus the spirits that are present. So you see an angel standing next to you, and then you come and tell someone, stand here. And you don't know why we're saying that. You guys, you don't know why, but I saw it in the spirit. I said, first come, stand here. And you think it's just, he's just maybe the position wasn't what? There are secrets. One time, I went to sleep. I was hungering for something. And I pursued it in the spirit. I tarried days. One night, I got out of my body and I found myself in a land alone with a being whose name now I know. And that being taught me something. And he said, whenever this particular thing happens, say this. Now, he spoke for hours. I woke up. I couldn't remember what else he said. Up to now. I say, Lord. But I just remembered that last part. When I was waking up, it was the last part that I could hear. Say this. So, whenever I find myself with a particular situation, that situation that was mentioned, all I say is that word. And it always works. It is my secret. Oh my, you guys. That place there where the Spirit prays for you with groanings. Sometimes you find yourself speaking new tongues. And then you sing, your spirit sings. That's where new songs come from. They don't come here. They don't, no. New songs come from here. And you find yourself, and you see, then a man says, there's a song that I heard in the spirit. And he teaches you, he says, choir, sing this song. And you think, you think maybe he sat down saying, they were in a place where there's no time. They were before that majestic spirit. Before that majestic spirit. I will show you the next week that after this gate of pursuit, you enter now what he refers to in Song of Songs as the bed chamber. The bed chamber. That is the secret place. Imagine all this time you haven't yet reached it. But the bed chamber. We'll touch that. And you see, if a man has not practiced the art of intercession, tarrying in the presence of God, what's going to happen is that it's going to take you hours to come from here to reach here. Just even to move from the flesh to soul, take you hours. But the more you do it, the time frame reduces. That's why I know for a fact that there are people, the moment they kneel, they're here. They're here. Imagine, a man of God just enters and says, the angels of the Lord are here. Meanwhile, you've been here the entire time. And you think, they must have come with him. Because I haven't seen any. He's just come. He's just come. Found you worshiping. And entered in faster than you. May the Lord draw you. May the Lord draw you. Praise the Lord. The moment you enter that place that I refer to as spirit, that place that is spirit, because we're flesh, soul, spirit. Here, you are praying many things. Here, your prayers are directed. Here, all you want is God. You've forgotten your sick mother. You've forgotten your wallet. Do you know that many of us enter prayer with a lot of baggage? Let me tell you. You enter the presence of God with your bank account, yeah. with your marital status. You enter with many things. And so God remains hidden until certain things fall off. Let them fall off. And when they fall off, because it's a journey, as they fall off, he reveals himself for you. That's why the Bible says, it talks about all wisdom, talks about all power. When it says that, it means that there are many wisdoms. There are many powers. And we see all knowledge. There are many, many dimensions that God reveals to people who have dared to wonder further. When such a person prays now, his burden becomes the territory that God has put him in. That's when you can say now that there is nothing that happens in this territory without me knowing. Amen. Because you've taken the burden that God has given, and your sight has wandered away from you. Wandered away from you. And so when you look in the newspapers and it says, Parliament wants to pass this law, say, tonight, I'm going to pray for this. You understand? You see, read something in the US. US is going to pass. Says, tonight, I'm going to pray for that. And you're learning to take on the burdens of God. What happens then is that you start to see things the way he sees them. You start to see things the way he sees them. Praise the Lord. Press in. This is just gate two. Just gate two. There are 12. And I told you last time, there are some even I've never entered. I just long. They are my day and night desire. I've just heard whispers of them. I don't even know if I'll teach them. Because I always feel like it's not the same thing when you teach something you haven't experienced. So we'll see how far we go. Maybe I might hint on them. Can I hint on them? No, eh? I experience and come, eh? Now you're harsh. Praise the Lord, eh? Praise the Lord. Press in. Press in. If you knew that at night, late in the night, at around 2 a.m., actually midnight to around 3, as many of you know, but let me tell you what that period does. Spirits are usually most active when human beings are not active. So when everyone's asleep. I was telling someone the other day, he said, Rabbi, I was in my bed and a good spirit walked in and started choking me. I said, you stay in apartments, yes. The spirit passes all those apartments and comes into your room. How many are you in the house? 5. Passes all the other doors and comes to you and chokes you? No. Praise the Lord. Usually things like that happen when you're about to break into a new realm and there's an intimidation. You guys, one day, and it won't be, you see, what I learned about, there's a time I was praying and the Lord showed me something. It seems obvious, but it's not until you've seen it. People who fear death, hey, jump on a border, Lord, Father, protect me. Hey, you know those people, they protect me, hey, and it's okay. But until the Lord revealed, gave me a revelation and opened my eyes to something, that there's, first of all, there's no one in the Bible who died by accident. Like Paul wasn't walking along the road someday and a chariot came and hit him. You understand? Eh? Those things only happen these days. Eh? But the idea is that there is a knowledge about the day you're about to meet your maker that comes long before you leave. And not only that, angels are sent weeks before the date of appointment. And if you sow in the spirit, you'd know when someone's time is almost up by the amount of angelic activity around them. It's not just, they don't come at that time when the person, they come before because it's like a royal procession. You're welcome, king. You understand? May God open your eyes. When someone says, man, if I feel angels around me, eh? Man, seems my time is almost up. In fact, that's why there's a man of God. I told this story of there's a man of God who, a child of God. One of these generals who passed away a couple of years back. Eh? And he sought for an anointing because he was sick. And this man of God went to see him in his sickbed. And he said that when he walked in, people were crying over the guy. He's going to die. Man of God, pray for him. But he said, if you could see the contradiction, because the angels that were in that room, if that guy's eyes were opened, he'd say, bye. So he prayed for him. He lived about 6 more months and went to be with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, death, where is thy victory? Amen. You understand? Yes. Because your eyes haven't been opened to actual secrets like that. Yes. They haven't been opened. There are things about your life. Things about your life that only God can only reveal to you. Amen. You are bigger than your chair. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bigger than your chair. Bigger than your chair. I want to wind with this because the Lord has whispered it to me. When you learn to involve God from the foundation of anything, when you're about to get married or just even when you're starting to date, you say, Lord, come into this relationship. Or when you're about to start a business, Lord, when you involve God from the foundation, he doesn't need your permission to come to your rescue. It's only people who have never involved him from the beginning. I say, where is God? Where is the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. I have learned that it is people who have no intention to pursue God that complain when the man of God is inaccessible. People who have no intention of pursuing God complain when the man of God is inaccessible. Because for me, it doesn't matter if he's inaccessible. I have access to the same God he does. Very, very important. What kind of, nowadays these men of God are not accessible. Is it them you're seeking? Their job is to minister from the pulpit and release the word for the day. Your job is to go deeper into it with God. He's not accessible. People who have not desired to pursue are the ones who complain like that. But when you pursue, when you decide, I'm going for God. Lord, I want a side of you that I've never seen. Certain things around you start to be expelled. And let me explain what it is as a wind up. There are people who will never find you relevant in their lives. Not because the problem is you, because the problem is them. And let me explain. You have such a fragrance around you that when you speak, you're speaking at such a high frequency above them that they think you're confused. They've seen you coughing with sickness. I'm not sick. So, Daniel, you're coughing. I'm not. I'm not sick. Praise the Lord. Because you're not a body. You're not a body. My God. Have you watched Chronicles of Narnia? I love. I've watched all three. When these guys go into another world and they discover that while in the natural world they are no more, in that other world they are kings. Now imagine you transitioning into the next world and they say, give me a name. I like that. Who? And they say, Aaron the Great. They say, Princess Maria. They say, and you see, it's just that you're waiting to go to that side, but here is what you are. It's what you are. You just need to allow more of God to shine through you. There's a lady, I don't know if it's my place. I prayed for, and she had cancer. He testified. And I was explaining to someone. So she came to me with a cancer situation. Did she display the things? You didn't? You should display them. She came to me with this whole file. Antibodies, what? I couldn't understand 90% of it. All I knew is that healing is available. Praise the Lord. And I loved her faith because she didn't come with this thing of if you can, if you're willing. You know what I mean? Man of God, if you're willing. No. And it's easier to operate when someone comes with that, my answer is here. And so, of course, you wouldn't have known. But there's a secret that a being revealed to me about years ago about a situation like that. Did you pay attention? Where is she? Did you pay attention to the words I said? I don't think you did. You were just saying, amen. I just kept on repeating one particular word. Let me leave it there. But that's when this happens, say this. Amen. Say, I bind, demon, I bind. No, that's not the instruction I got. Healing has dimensions. And every man, his level of instruction. Stop cramming. Stop cramming God. Praise the Lord. Cancer is going to be healed. Fibroids is healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you can't give birth, there is an opening for you in the name of Jesus. You shall give birth. Eh? Headaches are removed. There's a sickness of poverty. We bind it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you know that the purpose of wealth, its true purpose, is not so that you can shine and look good and drive a nice car? Huh? That will be for another day. It will be for another day. And its true purpose is not that. Pursue. Find times. Kneel down. You will find strength. It will be renewed. And one day, like I did, you'll find yourself rising. Rising. And then answers and solutions will be put in your spirit. You say, where did this come from? Where did this come from? Then they will say, as you pass, they say, Lava katonda huyo. Katonda huyo. Do you know that the people who have been so intertwined with God that when they come in a place, people conclude God has come. And someone was arguing with me, telling me, no, how can you say that? It's just a man. How can you say God has come? I say, you pursue God and you'll see. It's because you haven't yet reached that level. Where someone looks at you and says, God is on the plane. You know, when people say, I saw this man of God enter the plane. It's not crashing. It's not crashing. You guys, I don't know what happened. I have issues with flying nowadays. Eh? I don't like being near the window. Eh? I've been praying about it. I don't know. You careful. Eh? Let me leave that for another day. Eh? There's some just... I'm always like, Lord, let us reach... Do you know that people say more prayers on planes than they do in the natural? Anyway, pursue God. Pursue God that he might take you into the chamber. That is, next week we'll touch that. But as I teach these things, stop taking them as just theory. Actually, do it. Learn to sacrifice sleep. Because the kingdom you're going to, there is no sleep. It's time to practice now. Not so? Practice now. Actually, some of you actually have practiced no sleep by going out in the night. We see your statuses. Eh? And so with the same energy that you go out, eh? At least if you could just have an hour with God, just 1 hour. Hmm? God desires you. Hmm? God desires you. You will understand. You see, I sing that song different for most people. When God takes you in and you test that place, I wish I could explain it. When you say, here I'll stay forever, you're not just singing it. Mama. You... The other time when I told you of an experience I had where I was taken to another world and I saw different worlds, I left out a few things. But the experience was so real, it's like I was there for years. In fact, I had given up on coming back. I was like, until I woke up, I was sweating. I said, what is this? But the last thing that was said as I woke up was, I'm coming soon. Now, I wish I could explain to you. It felt like in the next hour. That's how it felt. It was so slow. I'm coming soon. Now, I'd like to make a disclaimer. Last time when I was teaching and I gave the tabernacle, as I said, 2032. Eh? I did not say Jesus was coming in 2032. People sent me messages. Eh? Rabbi, I want to get married. 2032? I did not say that. I just gave it to you. I said 2032. I left it to you, but I did not say that. Disclaimer. Start quoting me and say, there's a man of God who said 2032 Jesus is coming. But we're closer than we've ever been. And you do not want to learn intimacy from heaven. No, guys. No. Because you have to start from Kameme. You know? Level one. Huh? Right now you're saying, as long as I'll be in heaven. Gwe. You know, as you're looking in the sky like this, you see how far the sky is? Eh? Huh? You're saying, Rabbi. I said, Elisha. That one calling me. We used to pray radical prayers. Lord, on the marriage supper, let me be between Elijah and Moses. And maybe Jonah is in front. Jonah, but what were you thinking?
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.